Her arguments in discrimination cases were based squarely on the 14th Amendment's guarantee of equal protection of the laws. Gross generalizations about how women were or how men were had to be forgotten. Her dream was a world in which men and women cared for their children equally and had equal opportunities themselves. And the Constitution had to embrace everyone. Lilly Ledbetter struggling to achieve equal pay. Stephen Wiesenfeld trying, as a widower, to get the same benefits as a widow would. Mayetta Vance, afraid to tell a racist supervisor to buzz off. The young men of 18 in Oklahoma, who just wanted to buy a beer as girls of 18 could. She spoke for all such everyday people. As the court shifted steadily rightward, she became more determined to stay on. She redoubled her exercises, despite her age and the bouts of cancer, colorectal and pancreatic, which annoyingly forced her one day to take part in oral arguments from her bed. She found herself becoming an icon, a face on T-shirts, and the subject of biopics, notorious RBG. Mystifying, but fun. What did not change was her regard for her colleagues, conservative or not, in the wonderfully civilized family that was the court. For each of them, after all, their basic motivation was the same. At the end of Scalia-Ginsburg, the two famous foes and friends sang together the aria, which was her favorite. Separate strands unite in friction to protect our country's core. And this is why we will see justice done. We are different. We are one.